Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Do you like the show and you want to help support us? Do you want us to stay ad-free? Do you want extra episodes every month? Of course you do. Then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Become a Patreon supporter of this very show. And welcome to this extremely cold Hoth-like edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
Echo 3 to Echo 7. Hot old buddy, do you read me? Just kidding. It's Derek Diamond.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's so cold. It's like Hoth cold outside.
So it was in the high 20s here, I believe, on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember which one. The days all kind of blend together at this point. But the next day, I swear it was colder because the sun wasn't out. It was like a overcast, gloomy day. It was like that today, too. But yesterday, I walked outside and it hurt.
I know.
It hurts to go outside.
It was supposed to be in the 50s today, but no.
I would take the 50s.
It's that northern wind, man. You walk outside and it's like it punches you in the face as hard as it can.
Well, and people forget that, you know, because you think the humidity here in the South and it makes it hotter during the summer, but it also makes it colder during the winter. So it's like that wet cold.
Yeah.
That, like, it just, like I said, you walk outside, like I got out of my car to walk into my office and my hands were hurting about 10 seconds after I walked outside.
Yeah. The other day it was like 25 degrees, but it said, the little weather app says it's 25, but feels like 19. And I'm like, well, then just freaking say it's 19.
Yeah, I'd rather just have the number just shoved in my face. Like, oh, this is actually what it is. It's not, oh, it's 27, but due to everything else, it's going to feel like it's 19.
And I'm a tropical boy. I'm not used to this cold weather, man.
Yeah,
it's poor
been
people.
Rough.
And all you people in Texas, anybody listens to this show in Texas, or you probably can't listen to it right now. Oh, my God. I feel so sorry for everybody in Texas, right? I have friends in Austin, and I'm just like, man, I just want them to be okay.
It's awful right now. And for those who don't know, like, there are a lot of people in Texas who don't have power, which means they don't have heat. And it's, you think it's cold here.
Yeah.
It's snowing in Texas. It's really bad right now.
No heat, no electricity, no internet, nothing. It's just, it's barren wasteland in Texas right now.
Yeah, it's awful.
So count my blessings. I still live on the Gulf Coast where that weather, the snow and ice, like always just skates to the north of us because we're right here on the coast. So we don't really get that. So, I mean, we still get the cold, but man, I'm so glad we didn't get any of that ice, the ice storm stuff.
To tell you the difference, so I have an aunt who lives in Atmore, Alabama, which is a little bit farther north of here. It's more like the southern portion of Alabama. It snowed at her house.
Mm.
So it's like we literally just missed the snow.
I remember the last time we had an ice storm here on the coast was probably like 5, 6, 7 years ago. And mm-hmm. that old house that I used to live in, that night I was sitting outside on the porch. And you know how everything is so much quieter when it's cold like that? Mm-hmm. There's like this, the Biloxi Bridge was like less than a mile from my house. And I could literally sit outside and hear the car accidents happening. Just one after another, just listening to car accidents happen.
That's awful.
Because we don't know how to drive here. We know how to do hurricanes. That's our thing. We don't know how to deal with ice and snow. That's not our thing.
That same ice storm, I still lived with my parents at the time, and I had to leave work early so I could get to my parents' house, because they live like an hour away from here, mm-hmm. so that I could make it across the bridges. Otherwise, I would have been stranded. And I couldn't go to work for like 2 or 3 days because of all the ice on the bridges.
Yeah, I think I remember my old job. We actually closed for a few days because nobody could get out. Nobody could drive. Nobody could go anywhere. It was crazy. This weather, this earth is trying to get rid of us, actively trying to get rid of us, whether it's through hurricanes or ice storms. One of the two is going to get us.
That should have been the twist in The Happening. Instead of the trees, it should have just been the entire planet.
Yeah.
It would have been more believable.
Enough about the weather. How was your week?
It's been pretty eventful, actually. For those who are longtime listeners of the show, you know that usually around this time of year, we're prepping for baseball season. Well, we didn't have a season last year due to COVID-19, and we finally got our schedule for the 2021 season, which we normally get it a little less than a year in advance. We normally get it in July or August so that we have plenty of advance notice to come up with, you know, what we're going to do for each night and everything. But we just received it this past week. So baseball will be running from, it'll be a little bit different than it has been in years past. It'll start in early May and then go through mid-September. So
is it going to be a shorter season, or is it just the whole season pushed back a few months?
It's slightly less games.
Okay.
Normally we play 70 at home, but we're doing 60 this year. So it's like a little bit of a difference. And the way it's pretty much going to be, except for like a couple of weeks, it'll be almost like a pattern. It'll be like we'll have games at home 1 week, then the next will be on the road, then the following week will be at home. So it's nice that way to actually be able to, you know, plan stuff out as far as like, you know, this show, my show, and other stuff that I do. So still got a couple of months to prep for it, but that'll be coming down the pike soon. Unfortunately, I will be working during Pensacon weekend, so my availability won't be as much as it usually is, but we will still be doing our Nerd Cave retro panel. We will work it out to where we will still be able to do it.
Yeah, and we'll try to work in the meetup too if everybody's able to make it. So sooner the closer it gets, the more we'll have an idea we'll have to be able to, you know, do the panels, be able to get together and have a meetup and all that kind of stuff. So stay tuned. We'll have all that information soon.
Yeah, Nerd Cave retro panel will still happen. Defending Bad Movies will still happen. And I really hope to do the meetup. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll do that at McGuire's. Everybody needs to experience McGuire's at least once while they're in Pensacola.
The burger experience.
That burger. Best burger. I'm going to go ahead and say this now. That is the best burger I've ever had in my life, is McGuire's burger.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's tough to beat. But, I mean, honestly, there's so much great food at McGuire's, and you will not leave that place hungry.
I know. That's the thing. As many times as I've been there, I've had all kind of different stuff, but I always come back to the burgers. Like, I can't not eat the burger. They're the size of a couch pillow. You can't eat the whole thing in one go. And if you do, you'll go into a coma for at least 12 hours while your body is like, what do I do with this? How do I digest this?
Now, granted, there are worse ways to go into a coma, but yeah, I agree. No, it's the burgers are a staple. It's really that and their steaks are what they're known for. But honestly, the burgers are like a little over $10,
mm-hmm.
and just the sheer amount of food you get, you can't beat it.
Oh, they're fish and chips too.
Yep,
fish and chips are, and it's like they give you like their slab of fish that they put over the French fries is like, it's like the size of a football. It's huge. And the amount of food you get for the price you pay is unreal. And it's so good. But I mean, the thing is you do have to wait in line for a while. So maybe we could do like a call up beforehand and reserve a room or whatever, see how many people we're going to get going. So we won't have to wait.
I want to say if you have up to 8 people, you have to have a minimum of 8 people to make a reservation. So if we can get enough people, then we can reserve one of the rooms that they have.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely have 8 people, I think.
Yeah. So get this about the fish and chips. So McGuire's, Monday through Friday, they do lunch specials.
Mm-hmm.
And their Friday lunch special is their fish and chips. And you get it for like $7.
What? How do they not go out of business? Because that's got to be at least a $20 cut of fish.
Enough people buy it.
Wow. So good. I cannot stress. I'm so hungry right now. I cannot stress how good the food is at McGuire's.
This episode of Nerd Cave Retro is brought to you by McGuire's.
I wish, man. Dude. That would be... all they would have to do is just give me a gift certificate. Like... you know, $100 gift certificate, and I would give them a year of advertisement on Nerd Cave Retro.
Absolutely. Like, honestly, if we didn't have the Patreon, all I would ask is enough to pay for the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Just $100 gift certificate. Cause, you know, that's a good two, take your girlfriend there, take the girlfriend there like twice, you know, like a good, it's about $50 for two people for a good meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig that.
I think we should try to hook up with McGuire's and get a sponsorship on the show.
Oh, man, right?
I actually picked up Hades this last week. On the Nintendo Switch. I bought it on sale. It was on sale for like, I can't remember what I got it for, like $14, $15, something like that. Holy crap, it's so good. You know how I've been talking the last few weeks about how much I wanted a Diablo-like experience. Because I've been craving some Diablo, and this is the closest thing you could get to it, because it's like Diablo, because it's like a dungeon crawler, but it's also like a roguelike, where you'll go through, and each time you go through, it's different, but you'll die. If you die, you start back again, basically, in, you know, the House of Hades, the ruler. Underworld, you're his son, and you're trying to escape from Hades, and like all the gods are trying to help you. You know, they give you power-ups and all that kind of stuff. So you go through as far as you can, and you die, but you get all this stuff to like get upgrades. So every time you go through, you get stronger, better weapons, like trinkets, all that kind of stuff. So it's one of those games that just keeps pushing you to keep going further and further, and it's so addicting.
It looks like it. I've watched some gameplay, and it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and it looks really good.
A lot of humor in it. The voice acting's great. I love the art style. It's like playing a comic book. And
yeah,
I can't recommend it enough. You have to get it. You'll love it.
Yeah, I started playing, I believe it's called Trials of Mana. That's on the collection of Mana for the Switch. So I think that's going to be... my next review in a couple of weeks. So,
okay.
I've in the very, very early stages of it, but
yeah.
You know, I haven't played any of the other Mana games besides Secret of Mana for the SNES, so I figured I'd give it a shot.
That's cool. But yeah, as soon as you're done with that, I suggest your next pickup should be Hades. Maybe they'll have another sale going on. But even at full price, I think it's worth it. What, it's like $20-24, I think, normally. And yeah, it's so good. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I want to play it. It looks like a lot of fun.
But we got a few news stories to go to tonight. Would you like to go into the news?
Let's do it.
This came to us through the email from both I Am the Rampage and AxeBlade07. This is from comicbook.com. PS4 reportedly getting two classic N64 games this month. The PS4 and technically the PS5 are reportedly getting two classic N64 games later this month. Let's see. According to a new PlayStation Store leak, both Turok and Turok 2 remasters are finally coming to the PS4 on February 25th. Let's see. Last July, out of nowhere, trophies for Turok were posted to the back end of PSN. At the time, trophies didn't pop up for the sequel, but many expected the pair of games would come together in remastered form because that's how they were recently released on Xbox One and Nintendo Switch. Did you ever play the Turok games? I played the first Turok game for the N64. I don't think I played the sequel.
I did play the first one. I'm with you in the sense that I never played the second one. And it was a fun game. Like, I don't have too many specific memories that I recall, other than I remember playing it. But what I remember Turok, and I might be confusing it with another game, but wasn't there a Turok in the arcades?
I believe so, yeah.
Because I remember seeing like the giant arcade cabinet where you could play Turok and you were getting chased by a dinosaur.
Yeah, was it a sit-down machine?
I believe so, yeah.
I think so. It was one of the
big ones.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar. I did enjoy...
Let me Google that real quick.
Yeah, look that up. But I remember I really enjoyed playing the original Turok for the N64. It's probably terrible to look at these days because of the graphics and everything. But I do remember like going through the jungles and hunting, you know, the dinosaurs, like the velociraptors and things like that. It's a pretty cool first person kind of adventure game. And I wouldn't mind going back and playing it again. It doesn't say how much it's going to be though. Probably just if you're, I'm pretty sure that if you're a PS Plus subscriber, you're probably going to get them for free, I would imagine.
So I'm looking at the Turok Wikipedia, and it doesn't say anything about arcades.
Hmm.
So maybe I'm confusing it with another dinosaur game.
But I could have swore there was a Turok arcade game.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I'm sure the listeners will let us know.
Oh, yeah, we'll get fact-checked. While he's been chomping at the bit lately.
Well, you guys have a pretty epic bet going on.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet on the show. Me and Wally have a bet going on about WandaVision, and I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but I made a prediction about WandaVision, and Wally was adamant that it was not a good prediction. So he wanted to bet me $100. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to bet money. Let's do something where the loser has to do something embarrassing. So the loser has to shave their beard into a Hulk Hogan mustache and appear on the Nerd Cave Retro Show with said handlebar mustache for the entire episode.
So if you end up losing that bet, and even if Wally loses it and he comes on the show, I will totally dress up as the Macho Man.
Okay, I wish if it does end up being me, I might have to order a Hulkamania headband just to complete the look.
And then we can be the Mega Powers.
Yes! Yes! I wish we were in the same room. We could do that handshake. Oh, yeah. Look up that GIF, everybody. It's one of the greatest GIFs of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Absolutely. Had it been me that made the bet with you, I was going to bet that if you lose, you'd have to play and review a Final Fantasy game.
Ooh, I'd rather shave my face. I could probably shave and then regrow my beard in the time it would take me to finish a Final Fantasy game.
Could probably do it twice, actually.
Yeah, probably. Probably grow a Gandalf beard by the time I finished it.
You shall not pass. Our next story comes to us from murphysmultiverse.com. Cobra Kai and Deadpool writers teaming up for Twisted Metal. I love this idea.
Axeblade sent us this one, too, on the email.
Yes, Axeblade07 sent us this. Sony is moving ahead with its adaptation of PlayStation's Twisted Metal with some high-profile names behind the project. We have learned that Cobra Kai writer Michael Jonathan Smith will serve as the showrunner and lead writer for the series. Smith will also serve as one of the executive producers for Twisted Metal and will team up with Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, the writing duo behind both Deadpool and Zombieland films. Smith serves as a staff writer for 10 episodes of Cobra Kai during the hit show's first season before becoming the story editor for the last two seasons. He also served as the story editor for the Disney Plus streaming series Diary of a Future President. Described as a high-octane action comedy in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, Twisted Metal will follow a motor-mouth outsider trying to deliver a mysterious package while avoiding the wide array of marauders and their vehicles of destruction, including the famous ice cream truck driven by everyone's favorite clown, Sweet Tooth. As reported by the Illuminati yesterday, Will Arnett has been cast in the role of Sweet Tooth.
What? That's awesome.
I know. I like that idea. I love this because the Deadpool movies are great. I love both Zombieland films. I actually think the sequel is very underrated. It's, to me, like, if I were to give Zombieland 1 a 9, I'd give Zombieland 2 like an 8. Like, it's right up there to me as far as being just as good. And, you know, Cobra Kai is great, too. I've enjoyed that show immensely. So I think just in name and resume value alone, this sounds like it could be really good.
Yeah. If it definitely, if it has a, like a Deadpool vibe to it. You know, kind of dark, kind of dirty, but funny. I think it'll be a hit.
And I like the choice of Will Arnett as Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, Will Arnett's great. Did you ever watch Lego Masters? That show that he was the host of, Lego Masters?
No, but you've talked to me about it.
It's pretty good. I think they only did one season of it. It's on Hulu. I really enjoyed that. Made me want to go get some Legos.
I love Legos.
Yeah, almost.
They have some of the classic Lego sets now, too.
I had to go get groceries today, and I was at Walmart, and I saw the new Super Mario World Lego sets for $20. I almost pulled the trigger. I was like, no, I don't have the money. I don't need to spend money right now.
What's eventually going to happen is they're going to make Zelda Legos, and they're just going to have, I'm not going to have any willpower.
Don't say that, please. For our next story, this comes from NintendoLife.com. Zelda Skyward Sword HD, the Skyward Sword HD, hits Switch this July alongside the themed Joy-Con. Nintendo has revealed that it is bringing the Wii title, the Wii U, was it a Wii title or Wii U?
Yep, Zelda Skyward. The original Wii.
Oh, okay. Zelda Skyward Sword to the Switch this year. I could have swore it was just a Wii U. But yeah, you're right, it was the Wii. It will boast revised controls, which not only allow you to replicate the motion interface of the original, but also permit the use of buttons and sticks for control, a vital point when you consider the existence of the Switch Lite. The game will launch alongside a special set of Joy-Cons themed after the Master Sword and Hylian Shield. It was originally released in 2011 for the Wii, depicting the earliest story in the series timeline, as well as the creation of the Master Sword itself. I'm pretty excited for this. I never got to play this. Didn't play it. This is definitely going to be a day one purchase for me.
For sure. And I know we'll dabble a little bit into the Nintendo Direct that happened yesterday as we are recording this. And this was the highlight to me of this and Splatoon 3 being announced, but primarily Skyward Sword. I mean, we've talked about that Nintendo is going to do something for Zelda's 35th anniversary. And it seems like this is going to be one of those things.
Yeah.
I think Skyward Sword, while it's not my favorite Zelda game, it's important in the history of like the timeline and everything, because you know, it's mild spoilers, but it's the beginning of everything. You get to see how everything is set up for future games. And it's a lot of fun. Like the motion controls were really cool. I'm glad that, but they're having the option to go button only.
Yeah.
Which I think is good. My only knock on this game is that it's pretty short compared to other Zelda games, but it's still definitely worth playing. So I, like you, will be getting this day one. It'll be fun to go back and play Skyward Sword again. Cause out of all the Zelda games that I've gone through and done replays of, Skyward Sword is towards the bottom of the list, and not really any fault of the game itself. I just haven't done it. So I'm excited, and I'm definitely getting those Joy-Cons.
Yeah, those look cool, don't they? I like them.
They are sexy.
But yeah, I never played Skyward Sword. I did play Twilight Princess, but I actually played Twilight Princess on the GameCube. Never got the Wii version, so I didn't really get to experience the motion controls, and I'm not really a fan of motion controls, so I'm glad that they did the, you have the option of just using the buttons, which 100% is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, in all likelihood, I will be too. I'm just glad that this game is going to get, you know, a little bit more love. Like the same thing with Link's Awakening.
Yeah, well, this will be a little, you know, tide you over until Breath of the Wild 2 kind of thing.
Whenever that may come out.
Yeah. That was another prediction I got wrong yesterday. I was like, they're going to show us something from Breath of the Wild 2. Nope, nothing.
They technically talked about it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're still developing it. It's going well, but we're just going to ask you to wait a little bit longer.
And Wally said, yeah, technically an announcement about not about being sorry there's no announcement is technically not an announcement.
And he has been on your ass.
I know, man. All week. Crazy. He's been making memes and everything. Like, I don't know. Did I make you mad, Wally? What did I do? I'm sorry.
I feel like we
should
have brought him on the show. And yeah. I could have played Roastmaster.
You call him real quick. Like, what's the deal, man?
Yeah, so just curious. What did I do? Oh, man. But our next story comes to us from NintendoLife.com. Capcom Arcade Stadium is out now on Nintendo Switch at a cost of $40. Capcom has been rather quiet about when Capcom Arcade Stadium would go live on the Switch. And now we know why. The company was saving the confirmation for the first Nintendo Direct in what feels like forever. The games are offered in three packs, each costing $14.99 each, and are covering a period of Capcom's coin op history. So Dawn of the Arcade, their first pack, which runs from 1984 to 1988, includes games like Volgus, 1942, Commando, Trojan, Legendary Wings, Bionic Commando, and Ghouls and Ghosts. Arcade Revolution, 1989 to 1992, covers or features Strider, Dynasty Wars, Final Fight, Mega Twins, Street Fighter II, Captain Commando, and Varth Operation Thunderstorm. And then the Arcade Evolution, 1992 through 2001, includes Street Fighter II Turbo Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter II Turbo, Armored Warriors, 19XX, The War Against Destiny, Giga Wing, 1944, The Loop Master, and Pro Gear. It's available for download now and comes with one free game to play in the form of 1983, The Battle of Midway. If you want other games, you're going to have to pony up some cash.
This is interesting. I mean, I would be interested in buying this, but honestly, I just recently got the Capcom collection with like the, you know, a lot of these arcade titles already on it. So this is not really a necessary pickup for me. Although I might get the Dawn of the Arcade one because I'd like to have the actual arcade versions of 1942, Bionic Commando, Ghouls and Ghosts, and Section Z. Those are And Legendary Wings. I mean, these are all great games for the that are, I mean, pretty much every game is on here is great, but the one I think I might go ahead and just get separately is the Dawn of the Arcade 84 to 88.
Yeah, if I were to get one, it would be that, because I've never played most of the games that are on there. And like Street Fighter 2, I have that on the SNES Classic. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to play that, I could just plug that in. So if I get one, and I think $15 for all those games is not bad.
Yeah, because I think I only paid $10 for the Capcom collection, and it's got, I can't remember everything that's on it, but it's got a lot of these on there. I think it's got the Cyberbots on it, Armored Warriors, Battle Circuit, Final Fight, and some of the other ones. It's got like 6 or 7 games on it already.
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to check this out, though.
Yeah, if you don't have these any other way, I mean, this is a great pickup for $40 to get all these games. That's a lot of entertainment value.
Oh, for sure.
And for our last story tonight, this is also at NintendoLife.com. The Nintendo Switch Online gets 4 new SNES and NES games. The Switch update happened. What day was this that happened? Yesterday, actually, yep. As we're recording this. What dropped for the Super Nintendo is Psycho Dream. I've never heard of that. Doomsday Warrior, Prehistoric Man. I'll be honest, I have never heard of these three. Have you?
I don't believe so. Prehistoric Man sounds interesting. I have heard of the NES title, though.
Yeah, Fire and Ice I have heard of. That's the NES title that drops. But as far as the Super Nintendo ones, I'll probably go in and check them out, because I have never played any of these.
No, I haven't either. I remember reading about Fire and Ice in an old copy of Nintendo Power back in the day.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll check that one out and probably Prehistoric Man, just because it sounds appealing. Maybe yeah. It's because I still have Bonk's Adventure fresh in my mind.
Prehistoric Man. Let's go ahead and go into this month in video game history.
Yes.
In February of 1981, Konami releases Scramble in Japan and is the first side-scrolling shooter with forced scrolling and multiple distinct levels. Do I remember Scramble? Did I ever play this? Let's see. I don't think I did, but that freaking poster artwork is epic.
Right? I was just looking at it. It reminds me so much of Tron.
Yeah, it does. Wow. That looks like Alex Ross artwork almost.
A little bit, yeah.
But no, yeah, I don't think I ever played this.
Yeah, I never played it either.
Might have been a little too young for this one.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, same. February 12th, 1987, Infocom releases Bureaucracy from author Douglas Adams.
Oh, I remember we talked about this last year. Because
if
anybody's ever heard know who Douglas Adams is, he wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So if this is in the vein of Douglas Adams writing, this is probably one interesting game to get into.
I'd be interested to try this out. Like, just the story and how I picture this game playing out is like really appealing to me.
Yeah, I like the cover artwork too. It's got like a almost looks like a bank teller window.
Yeah,
it says bureaucracy across the top, and then there's a sign that says please use next window.
I was thinking that or like a gambling window.
Yeah.
Where you go to cash out your chips.
Oh, yeah, that too. February 14th of 1991, DMA Design releases Lemmings, a puzzle game that requires the player to lead a group of lemmings through a dangerous environment to an escape portal. I remember reading about this game. This game got a big push in Nintendo Power at the time. Mm-hmm. And when it dropped on the Super Nintendo, I just wasn't at all interested in playing this game. Did you ever play it?
Was it featured on the cover of Nintendo Power?
I don't remember if it was. It might have been. But reading they actually had a big story about it in Nintendo Power. I remember that. And I was just like, this doesn't sound interesting. Like, you're just leading these little lemmings around everywhere.
It was on the cover of Nintendo Power.
Was it? Okay.
Issue 37.
It must have been.
Yeah, I remember.
Must have been a slow month.
I remember this cover too. Yeah, it like you said, it got a big push, but I never played it. And from what I've read, sounds like I made the right decision.
Yeah, I don't think they ever did any sequels to it, so it probably didn't do very well.
On February 23rd of 1994, Super Street Fighter II Turbo is released for arcades. I enjoy the Street Fighter games. I prefer Mortal Kombat when it comes to fighting, but...
Speaking of Mortal Kombat, did you see the trailer?
Yes. I am excited.
Yes.
It's, you know what it is? It's exactly what it needed to be.
Yes.
Is how I can sum it up. If you haven't watched it, go check it out.
The cheesiness of the original Mortal Kombat, but bloody and just rated R as hell.
Yeah. No, it's when I watched that trailer, like my expectations were pretty low. But after seeing it, I'm trying not to get too excited about it. But at the same time, like, I really, really want to see that movie.
Dude, the first 10 seconds of the trailer is Sub-Zero destroying Jax's arms.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Sub-Zero is my favorite character. So that, like, sucked me in right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's all through the trailer, so I'm wondering if like he's pretty much like a huge part of the movie.
I hope so. Like the dynamic with him and Scorpion is what make Mortal Kombat to me.
Oh, and they did show like a split second frame of Goro too.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the big question is, will we get a lot of exposition?
I hope not. We'll get three good exposition dumps through the movie, and the rest is just mindless action. I'm down for it.
Yeah, hey, right.
We had a good time with the commentary for that episode. I'm down for anything Mortal Kombat.
I think once it comes out, we'll have to do a commentary track on the new one.
Yes, I think so. As soon as it hits VOD, we're doing a commentary track for it.
Abso-freaking-lutely. You're up next.
Okay. February 4th of 2000, Maxis releases The Sims for Microsoft Windows. I never played it for Windows, but I did play The Sims on the original Xbox. I don't know if you ever played it for the Xbox.
I did not. I never really got into The Sims all that much. The crazy thing to me is that, like, I can remember when this first came out. This game is over 20 years old now.
I know. My girlfriend's a huge fan of The Sims 4 right now. I think that's the current one that's out, but haven't played The Sims since the original Xbox. I never played it on computer or anything.
The only Sims game I ever played was SimCity for Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
And finally, on February 5th of 2001, Nintendo releases Paper Mario for the N64 in North America, one of the last big games to come out for that console. I believe this was just over a month before Conker's Bad Fur Day came out, and that was kind of the end to me of, like, there were other games I believe that came out for the N64, but as far as your big releases, it was those two. And I like Paper Mario a lot. I think, you know, I was initially a little disappointed going into it that it didn't play exactly like Mario RPG for Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But once I got into it, like, I love the story. The paper game, the paper dynamic actually plays into the story, which is done in a funny way. Like, all the Paper Mario games are, most of them are good.
I never played the original. I only played the one for the Wii. That's the only one I've played so far. I still haven't played the new one yet.
Yeah, I haven't played the new one either. Because there was this one, then there was Paper Mario Thousand Year Door mm-hmm. for the GameCube. That one was really good. And then you had the one for the Wii, which I think was just Super Paper Mario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, they're fun games. I would I'd recommend, you know, anybody try them.
Now, if I can find a good ROM of it, I might actually do a review of that. I might play it and review it. Unless you want to do it.
No, I already did review Paper Mario.
Oh, you did review it already?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, there's always Thousand Year Door.
Yeah. Well, we're getting to the point in the show where I can't remember what we've what we've reviewed. So I got to go and make sure we haven't reviewed it before when I review things.
Yeah, I always have to go back and, like, look in the archive, and I just scroll through and be like, okay, I did review this. I've caught myself like, oh, I'll review this. Like, oh, all right, done it. Never mind.
I did that not too long ago. I was like, man, I want to review Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And then I looked, I was like, one of the first ones we ever did. I was like, ow.
Yeah, one of my regrets from the show is that some of those bigger games that I played when I was a kid, I wish I'd saved the reviews until later, like, spaced them out a bit.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing, like, you know, my first one was Link to the Past, and then I did, I think it was Illusion of Gaia. I did Secret of Mana not too long after that, Earthbound not too long after that.
Well, you know, we could always get those early episodes. We can always go back and re-review stuff and see if we still feel the same about them.
True.
Never know.
That is very true.
But before we go into the review tonight, Derek has shout-outs.
Yes, as always, we'd like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to give a shout-out to Armez Jackson, XBlade07, John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster, Daniel Salmon, Carlos Longoria, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Randy Bailey, Tyler Watson, Justin Olson, Brandon Rutledge, and Donner Party of Five. Thank you guys so much for your continued contributions to the show, helping us keep the lights on. And because you've kept us at the $50 level, we will continue to do fun commentary tracks. And this month, I'm really excited about this one. We're going to be doing a commentary track for Transformers the Movie.
We're doing that this weekend, and I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I think I mentioned this last week, but I have not watched this movie since I was in college. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to go back and revisit that. And also, you get to vote on our monthly poll for our roundtable discussion, which Donkey Kong won this month. So we'll be doing that show next week. The one for March stays open through the end of the month. So if you haven't voted yet, be sure to get your vote in. And if you want to do that and be a part of our awesome Patreon community, head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
And tonight we're talking about Dracula, or as it is known in Japan, and I'm going to try not to butcher this name, Akumajo Special Boku Dracula-kun, is a platform game made by Konami. It was released in Japan for the Famicom on the 19th of October in 1990. It is considered a parody of the Castlevania series. A version for mobile phones was released on June 30th, 2006 in Japan, and then it saw ports to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Microsoft Windows as part of the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, which was released digitally on May 16th, 2019 in all regions, with an English localization known as Kid Dracula. It is the self-proclaimed Demon King, Kid Dracula, has awoken from a long sleep, only to discover that the demon, Gallimoth, has challenged him. Swiping his father's cape, it is up to Kid Dracula to set out on an adventure to destroy the monster and retake his throne. After battling through dangers and demons, Kid Dracula defeats Gallimoth. This causes him to become famous throughout the land, with all the monsters in Transylvania showing up at his castle, wanting to be his friend. Like I said, it was considered a parody of the Castlevania series, and I'll be honest, I never even heard of this game until recently, and then got the Castlevania Anniversary Collection for the Switch, and a few weeks ago, about a week and a half or so ago, I was testing out my Switch on Twitch, and everybody was in the chat room. I think Rampage was there. I think Axeblade was there. And they were telling me to play, because I was playing the original Castlevania, and I was getting my butt kicked because I'm out of practice, and they talked me into playing Kid Dracula, because I just thought it was a kid's game. I thought it was going to be like a little cutesy, easy kid's game. It's not. Holy crap, this game is hard. But it's hard, but it's not like frustrating hard where you want to stop playing. It's one of those where you're like, I know I can do this better. Because you go through the game, and of course you start out, you have your normal where, not sure what he does. He has like a, sort of like a, this little magic, like, thing he shoots out of his hand. I'm not quite sure what it is. Like, just a little burst of power, or like, energy that he hits his enemies with. But you can also hold the button to power up. And if you do that and hit your enemies, you get coins. Which, in between stages, you can use those coins to play different kind of games. There's, like, roulette. There's some other, I can't remember the names, are very Japanese kind of names, where you play these little mini games, and you get, like, you know, extra lives and all that kind of stuff. So, you're going through the game, and it reminds me a lot, like, at very first glance, it seems kind of, bland, but it's deceptive. Because you start playing it and you realize that this game's kind of challenging, like the further you get into it. And it's pretty much got all the trappings of every platformer you've ever played. Like, it's got your normal, like, on land level. You got your platforming. It's got, you know, the Castlevania type stuff in there, like the big gears and the, you know, you got to swing on the pendulums and all that stuff. And then you've got your usual, your underwater levels, you've got your ice levels and stuff like that. So it takes a lot from, you know, like Mario. Also, it's reminds me a lot of Mega Man, but the way he moves and in the game, he moves very stiff, like Simon Belmont in the first Castlevania game. So it's a little frustrating, but once you kind of get used to using your special, because each time you defeat a boss, you get their special attack too, that you can switch through. So the further you get in the game, like, I think the farthest I've gotten so far is level 5, the ice level. And you get all these different, like, the first boss you beat, you get like a homing missile, which shoots out all these different you know, energy balls or whatever, and they kind of, you know, they're homing missiles for everything on the screen, basically. And then the next one's like a big power burst, and then the one I had just got before this last level I got to was you turn into a bat, which is like you'd like Alucard in Castlevania 3. So makes kind of quick work of, you know, traversing you know, some of the platforming stuff that might be a little too difficult because of the way he moves. So it's a really deceptively fun game, and I'm having a blast playing it, honestly.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Mega Man, because I think you hit the nail on the head, because I watched a little bit of gameplay earlier today, and just the look of it, it's a very bright and vibrant game.
Yeah.
For it, the setting being a Kid Dracula.
Yeah.
But the graphics and the look of the characters reminded me of those original Mega Man games for the NES. And yeah, the gameplay did remind me a little bit of kind of a Castlevania meets Mega Man hybrid type of deal. Mm-hmm. But it looks like it would be a lot of fun. You know, we've talked about that fine line of what is too hard, like what is hard enough to the point where it motivates you to do more, or is it so hard that you just don't want to deal with it and you just put your controller down or play something else.
And the thing is, I think if you are a fan of Castlevania and the Mega Man series, it's kind of a good blend of the two.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I remember when you mentioned that you were going to review Kid Dracula, I remembered us talking about it when we mentioned the Castlevania Anniversary Collection last year, because neither of us had ever heard of it, I don't think.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know what, why is this part of a Castlevania collection? But, you know, actually seeing gameplay of it, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, and you look at, like, the artwork for it. You know, you're going through your menu on the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, you know, like Castlevania, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, and, you know, Castlevania Bloodlines. And then there's like this Kid Dracula that looks like it's drawn with a Crayola crayon. And you're like, I don't want to play that. Like, who wants to play that? And then you play it and you're like, this is actually kind of good. I think the game artwork for it doesn't really do it justice, because I think just looking at the artwork, you're going to be turned off by it, especially if you're you're a gamer, an older gamer like us. You're going to look at that and be like, oh, that's probably just a kid's game, and you're not ever going to play it. But you play it and you're like, this is really good. Why did this not come to America? Like, why was this not an American NES release?
And I feel like had it come out in the U.S., it would have been a pretty big hit.
I think so. It probably would have been one of those games that would have hit. It probably wouldn't have done well at first, but I think word of mouth probably would have pushed it to be at least like a cult classic of the NES.
I was about to say, this has cult following written all over it.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's weird. Like, you play the game and, you know, the artwork is, like you said, it's like it's very bright and things are big and, you know, and it, but you have all that Castlevania stuff. Like I said, like, you know, the turning gears that you have to, you know, jump for, like, while you're platforming, and you have the swinging pendulums and there's different platforming things you have to do where you have to go from I can't even describe it. Like, you just have to play it. Like, all the trappings of, like, say Castlevania 3, the platforming that's in Castlevania 3, but just like kind of big and bright. It's weird to have to describe it, because it looks like a kid's game, but it plays like, you know, a really good platformer for what should have been the NES.
Yeah, no, like I said before, watching the gameplay of it, it looks like it would be a lot of fun to play. I for one, it would have been cool to see what would have happened had this come out in the US, because like it seemed like it would have the appeal to both kids and adults. Like, kids would have loved the art style, and then adults would have loved the gameplay of it.
Yeah. And I think the Castlevania fans like myself probably would have balked at it at first. But in instances where, you know, you have like a little brother or something, and the parents buy, you know, Castlevania for the older kid and then Kid Dracula for the little one, but then come to find out Kid Dracula's too hard for the little kid, so the older brother starts playing and is like, you know what, this is a good game, and tells all his friends and lets friends borrow it, and then it kind of gets that word of mouth like things used to do back when we were kids. And I think it had the potential to be a cult classic for the Nintendo, because it's not a bad game at all. It's a very good game. Yeah, it's a little hard to control, but once you get used to it, it's very, very good.
And the crazy thing is, under reception, it doesn't have that much information. It just says Famitsu Magazine scored the game a 25 out of 40.
Mm-hmm. And there was a release for this on, they did release this on Game Boy in 93, and I never even heard or saw that version.
No, I had no idea that this was out for Game Boy.
I'm looking through the Castlevania.fandom.com right now to see. His weapon is called the Balls of Destruction. that was my wrestling name in high school.
There's a very good joke in there somewhere. Yeah.
Well, that was my wrestling finishing move back when I was a wrestler.
It's the Balls of Destruction.
Balls of Destruction. He did have other appearances, though. He had a manga he appeared in. He appears as a secret item in the game The Legend of the Mystical Ninja for the Super Nintendo and Game Boy Advance. Legend of Mystical Ninja is one of my favorite games, and I don't remember him being in that. Unless I just wiped it from memory. He appears in the Super Famicom port of Gokujo Parodius as a selectable character. He was a hidden selectable character in game sequel for the PlayStation and Sega Saturn. He was in Twin Bee Paradise as a brief cameo. And appears as a spirit in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for the Nintendo Switch. His shadow, which utilizes the same pose as his stock art, also appears at random on the Dracula's Castle stage.
I don't remember seeing him in Smash Brothers.
You'll have to look for it next time.
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm really going to be on the lookout for
him.
That's cool, though.
But this is a pretty good game. I mean, out of on a scale of 10, you know, I think it gets a good solid. I give it a 7. You know,
I dig that.
It's not it's not up there with like Super Mario Brothers 3, but it's also not a bad game either. It's a pretty good game to play. So if you've got the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, it's worth your time to play it.
No, that's good to hear, because I remember us talking about it, like I mentioned, when we first brought up the Castlevania Anniversary Collection. So I was curious as to how this game would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as bad as you think it would be. And I kind of feel bad because I brushed it off and was never going to play it, and then just kind of got prompted into playing it on stream and kind of fell in love with it.
That's awesome. I dig it.
But that's pretty much it for my review. Do you know what you're going to review next week?
Yes. Yeah, so next week we'll be doing our monthly roundtable. Donkey Kong won the poll, so we'll be discussing the Donkey Kong franchise. And then I do have to make a fact check on myself. the mana game I mentioned is Trials of Mana, not Legend of Mana. So in 2 weeks, that's what I'll be reviewing. Which is part of the Collection of Mana collection on the Switch.
Perfecto.
So that'll be coming up in early March. And speaking of early March is also when episode 300 of the Derek Diamond Experience will air. I'll be doing a special live show Tuesday, March 2nd at 7:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. I'll be chatting with Brian O'Halloran, who you know as Dante from the Clerks films. And I'll also be doing top 5 moments from the Marvel Cinematic Universe and other fun. I'm tempted to give my thoughts on the whole Gina Carano situation.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. I'm good with my top 5 that I sent to you.
Yep. Yep. I won't spoil it, but we do have the same number 1.
Okay. I've kind of figured it, 'cause I did rewatch, Infinity War and Endgame last week, and still my favorite moment of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how can it not be?
It's gotta be.
Yeah. It's amazing. So, that'll be coming up on March 2nd. Of course, new episodes drop, every Thursday on YouTube and all podcasting platforms. And if you want to follow the show on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Diamond Podcast.
And for me, go check out my other podcast, Open Micers, at Open Micers on Twitter and Open Micers Podcast on Facebook. Last week, we talked with legendary bass player Leland Sklar. You may not know the name, but you've heard his bass playing. He was on one of my favorite albums of all time, so I was trying not to geek out all over him for the episode. But this dude has been on he's been on over 2,000 albums. So you've heard this dude and his band. So go check out that episode. The dude did the A-Team theme. The A-Team, Greatest American Hero, Alf. He did the Alf theme. One of my favorite theme songs of all time, Quantum Leap. He did all those. So go. It was a fantastic conversation with him. So go check that out. That's at Open Micers on Twitter and Open Micers Podcast on Facebook. And of course, just go to openmicers.com. So Derek, is that pretty much it for this week, isn't it?
I believe so.
All right. Well, let me play our music and we can get out of here. If you would like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We are also at nerdcaveretro.com. And go to our TeePublic site. You can get our merchandise, which helps out the show. We got some really cool designs up there now. We got Trust the Fungus that just dropped. Chewing Bubblegum and Kicking Ass Since 1988 is up there now. And you don't have to get a t-shirt. You can get a mug. You can get a face mask. You can get bags, wall art, pillows, whatever you want. Just go to our TeePublic site, teepublic.com/NerdCaveRetro. We're on Instagram and Twitter at NerdCaveRetro and individually at JFantastic, at Derek_Diamond. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro. And of course, leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are sold. So Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
Master Blaster runs Bartertown.
Monkey!
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.